You're listening to Soundside, and last week we aired a segment about a proposal from King County Council member Jeannie Cole Wells that would require businesses in unincorporated areas of King County to accept cash, you know, places like White Center.
The problem I'm trying to solve with this ordinance is to make sure that those individuals who do not have access to or desire to use credit cards, debit cards, swiping their smartphones, or maybe they don't have them, is to be able to access needed food, consumer items, and services.
And we heard from a lot of you about how this move to cashless payments has already affected your lives. For some, it's raising questions about security.
My name is John. I live in unincorporated King County. I'm older. Yes, I care very much about privacy, and that is a motivating force for me. I always carry cash with me. However, if there are places that only deal with cards, I have cards too. But the real issue that I want you to raise is the availability of using the chip as opposed to swiping the strip. Most people don't know the security and the safety, the security and the privacy that are built into the chip, and why the chip should be the means of choice of that card. And it astonishes me that so many businesses are not chip enabled. They cannot read it. They require you to swipe it. I refuse. I either pay cash or I walk out and find a different place to buy whatever it is that I'm interested in.
Cheryl in Renton shared that they feel it's just a reflection of changes that people are already making in their day-to-day lives.
My landlord wants payments made only through apps on the internet, no checks, because he doesn't want to make that unnecessary trip to the bank. Also, the U.S. government has set a precedent with their income tax payments, requiring that you pay by check or money order or on the internet, but no cash. So they've been no cashless for quite a long time. And I think that's the direction we're going in.
We also heard from a business owner about her reasons why she will never have her business stop accepting cash. Robin Wheel Martin is the founder and co-owner of Hello Robin Cookies. Hello Robin has two locations. Both are in city limits, so Councilmember Cole Wells' proposal wouldn't apply to her businesses. After our segment last week, Robin reached out to tell us about a story involving a little boy. It also involves an ice cream sandwich. And this story ultimately changed how she thinks about going cashless.
A little boy in the neighborhood came down to buy an ice cream sandwich and saw our sign that said, you know, we don't take cash. Went home really upset, and his father called us and said, first of all, I believe this is illegal because cash says for legal tender. And second of all, this is discrimination. And third of all, you're alienating populations. And the population that he was mentioning was his child who couldn't get an ice cream sandwich. It made me realize not everybody has access to a bank account, a credit card. You know, it just struck me as it's very inequitable.
Robin realized not accepting cash would cut off a really important customer base for her, kids.
You know, it is the first place that they are allowed to go without their parents on their own and to buy a cookie or buy a scoop of ice cream. And it's likely that they don't have credit cards or debit cards, or, you know, they only have cash. And so it just really made us look inward and see that our policy wasn't great.
And there's also other benefits of keeping cash in the system.
When people come through the line, it seems like most people say, well, not most people, but anyone who wants to use cash, they say, do you guys accept cash? You know, I hear that a lot. I still work in the shops and I hear a lot of customers, you know, lead with that, to which I reply, yes, and we prefer it, because then we don't have the processing fees. And the processing fees are so expensive.
Wheel Martin says cash payments make up just 3.5% of Hello Robin's total revenue. But for every card transaction, they have to pay 3.2% processing fees. Now for a half dozen of Hello Robin Macklesmores, that rounds out to about 35 cents. It doesn't seem like a lot, but those fees can add up quickly. We also got a lot of feedback last week about our story on public records requests and how some members of the Washington state legislature are avoiding them. In 2019, the state Supreme Court ruled that state legislators are subject to the state's public disclosure law. But since then, some electeds are denying public records requests from journalists and others, citing something called legislative privilege. Shauna Sowersby with McClatchy ran into this problem.
The legislature has been telling us, they say that this is something that has always existed in the state constitution. And the basis for that claim lies in Article 2, Section 17 of the Washington State Constitution that gives legislators the freedom of debate. But that only shields them from prosecution or civil action while they're debating on the floor. However, that does not apply to other public records.
Mary, an attorney in Lake Forest Park, called us with her thoughts on this.
I wanted to say that working for the state as an attorney, we often get Public Disclosure Act requests, and everybody has to try to comply with these, which involves, you know, some very meticulous procedures, combing through your various materials on your computer or your phone, etc. But often they're overly broad and badly crafted, and they take hours and hours and hours of employee time that the public's paying for. And when you read the request, you can tell that they were after something much narrower. So I'm saying, if we're going to continue to have one of the most liberal public disclosure laws in the nation and give our citizens this right and privilege, we should educate everyone on how to exercise this right correctly so they don't waste thousands of dollars and hours of public time and resources, and they do get what they're after and not the 99% of stuff they also get, which is meaningless. So I think Public Disclosure Act is a wonderful thing, but the citizens don't know how to use it correctly, and the citizens are paying for it.
Mary raised important points about how requesting public records actually works in practice. So we asked her for an example of a failed records request that might have occurred.
I remember once a couple of years back, there was something where somebody wanted everything related to gun control. So there's a lot of political action around some of these questions. And so you have people looking for, well, what is going on internally in these state agencies, you know, regarding these potential political issues? And you can imagine that when you use a phrase like that, there's going to be tons of responsive material, and a lot of it will not be really what the person was looking for. And, you know, as I understand it, sometimes when people make these requests, they are first asked to narrow them down, which is great.
But Mary says even when public servants are able to track down the documents needed to fulfill a request, people can also just change their mind.
There have been cases where they're, you know, just generally aware, you know, where there are maybe thousands of pages potentially located. And then sometimes when the person learns that they just have to pay for the copying, you know, to produce it if it's going to be on paper, you know, then they change their mind. They could have hundreds of public servants spending many, many, many hours looking for all these things, many of which were non-responsive, and then they could just change their mind, walk away, or not really need 90% of it.
Ultimately, our caller Mary hopes that there will be more public education and awareness around records requests.
You know, maybe you're looking for a smoking gun, but even so, you should be able to describe the things around the smoking gun you hope you find so that it's respectful of, ultimately, of the public and the public purse and all those hardworking, you know, fairly compensated but not overcompensated public servants up and down the chain in all these agencies.
Thank you to everyone who wrote in or called about our stories. We love hearing from you, and we always try to respond. If you want to ask us a question or send us a story suggestion or a response, head over to KUOW.org/soundside to send us a message, or you can join our Soundside Listener Network. That is where we send you one text a week asking about a story that we're working on or feedback for some future coverage. You can also leave a voicemail. Again, you heard those voicemails today. Call 206-221-3213 to leave Soundside a voicemail. Thanks for listening to Soundside. Don't forget you can listen live on KUOW 94.9 Seattle at noon and 8 p.m. Monday through Thursday, or anytime right here online at KUOW.org, or of course on your favorite podcast app.